I'm thankful to live in a country where we're free, we can open God's Word, and come together, rejoice, and worship with no persecution. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 12. Boy, is this message timely. Title of today's message is Religion Made Easy in 2021. Religion Made Easy. You think about that. As I preach today's message, Religion Made Easy in 2021. Let me start off by saying this before I read the text this morning. Substitutes are never as good as the real thing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Substitutes ain't never as good as the real thing, PJ, and I'll start real country. Canned biscuits ain't as good as the... That's the series of events that takes place when you don't crack a can. Canned biscuits, not as good as homemade biscuits. Artificial sweetener instead of sugar. That's just nasty. Margarine instead of butter. And then we got some substitutes that's not for health, but for ease or convenience or comfort. For example, using a microwave instead of an oven, right? Remote control instead of walking to the TV set and turning it on. My daddy, he's going to be here next service. I'm going to say it now before he gets here. My daddy, when I was at home, of course, a little feller, he always said this: if I get too ornery to walk over to the TV set and turn it on, I don't need to be watching it. Then he'd say, get up and turn the TV on. Hello, I was the remote. You know, I'd go outside, turn the antenna. Yeah, hold right there. You'd be standing like a dog on one leg. Just don't move. How long am I supposed to stay like you? And he said the same thing about riding mowers. Need I tell you that I was also the guy that push mowed the yard. But now Daddy has a remote control and a riding mower. But when it comes to making religion easy or convenient, in all seriousness, watch out. Watch out. Watch out. When you start making religion easy, watch out. It will be harmful, I promise you. It will be harmful to your walk with the Lord. It will be harmful in your growth as a Christian. I'm going to show you this fact played out in God's Word this morning. And I've got a key verse I'm going to key in on through this text. But let's read 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. Also he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king asked advice, and boy, he got some bad advice, but he asked advice, and they're unnamed, as you can see. He asked advice, and then he made 2 calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much, here's your key verse, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month. like the feast that was in Judah, and he offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priest of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. The first part of the message today is going to just be laying groundwork, so making sure everybody understands what's going on here before I make it relevant to today in 2021, okay? So we see from our text that the easiest solution to Jeroboam's problem of holding the loyalty of his people, according to Scripture, was to establish a worship center for them in the territory of Israel. Now watch this. I got a question. What authority did he have to devise a rival religion? Who died and left him in charge? Who made him large and in charge? How did he have the right to devise a rival religion when the Jews had received their form of worship, watch this, from the very hand of God? You don't get no better than that. Amen? He certainly couldn't build a temple to compete with Solomon's temple or write a law that matched the law of Moses or set up a sacrificial system that would guarantee the forgiveness of sins. He wasn't no Moses. No, and he certainly couldn't claim to be God. So, what Jeroboam did was to take advantage of a tendency that the Jewish people had. You know what that tendency was? Idolatry. Turning to idols. They had a tendency to do that. That was their weak spot, so he keyed in on that. And the desire of most people for a religion that is convenient, not too costly, and close enough to the real thing to ease the conscience. A lot of people in America like that today. Jeroboam didn't tell the people to forget Jehovah, no. He was telling them to worship him in the form of the golden calf. In both Egypt and the land of Canaan, the king had seen statues of calves and bulls that were supposed to be holding up the invisible forms of the gods. In the pagan religions that Jeroboam was copying, calves and bulls symbolized fertility. Jeroboam turned his back on the very most important message that was given at Mount Sinai. Israel's Lord Jehovah is a God who will be heard but not seen or not touched. Hearing his word is what generates faith, according to Romans 10:17. And faith enables us to obey, but that's not what most people live by today. Most people don't want to live by faith. They want to walk by sight and gratify their senses. Jeroboam's words in verse 28 suggests that Aaron's golden calf also came to mind. But the king went one better. He made two calves. One wasn't enough. He made two calves and put one at Bethel, watch this, on the farthest southern border of the kingdom. That's key. Just a short distance from Jerusalem to make it real easy, see? And the other, he put at Dan on the farthest northern border. For those folks, worshiping the Lord could not have been more convenient for these people. Whether on the northern end or the southern end, they had it close and made it easy, made it convenient. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem, the king told the people in verse 28, and they were more than willing to believe him. The king built shrines at Bethel and at Dan, and allow the people to make their own high places closer to home. Any of this sounded familiar today? It will when I get to it. He instituted a do-it-yourself religion. Basically, it's what he did. He instituted a do-it-yourself religion. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. If the Canaanites and Egyptians could worship calves, so could the Hebrews. He forgot about Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3, as well as verses 22 and 23. But watch this, the Lord didn't forget. The Lord didn't forget. So we see Jeroboam went right to work, building up Shechem for defense and for his headquarters. But despite God's promises to make his kingdom thrive, if he would be faithful, the new king was still paranoid. Watch this. God had promised him that he would prosper. God had promised him that he would thrive if he just remained faithful, but yet in his heart he was paranoid. In his heart he thought, God can't pull this off, so I got to help him. You ever been there? You ever tried to help God? You ever tried to push God a little bit more to make him do what you want? It don't work so well, does it? Jeroboam rationalized that if the people in the north continued to visit Jerusalem, the holy city and the site of the temple for worship and religious festivals, their loyalty would eventually return to the house of David. What's more, they would probably kill Jeroboam. So Jeroboam decided to solve the problem himself and eliminate God from the whole process. King Jeroboam looked for advice from unnamed advisors. If I give advice that bad, I wouldn't want my name mentioned either. He decided that the answer to all his problems was idolatry, worshiping false gods. To prevent the northern tribes from returning with Judah, Jeroboam established a rival system of worship to compete with the true worship of God. I hope you're getting this. He made two golden calves, the Bible says, and he set them up in Dan and in Bethel, cities on either end of his northern kingdom. The author summed it up clearly, the effect that this had on the people. Did you see what it said? This led to sin. This process that he did led to sin. How could it not lead to sin? How could it not? Jeroboam had effectively repeated the sin Israel had committed at the foot of Mount Sinai. Back then, while Moses was on the mountain receiving God's law for his people, Israel made a golden calf, remember? Remember, Moses is up there with God, and the people got tired of waiting, Jason, and they made a golden calf. Remember that? And they worshiped it as the God that had delivered them from the Egyptian slavery. Now, Jeroboam had apparently learned nothing from his people's history because he did the exact same thing. What did we say last week? How many of y'all remember? A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. A fool makes his own. Instead of Jeroboam learning from the mistakes of others that had went before him and it turned out a catastrophe, Skeets, he turned right around, did the same thing. In addition to endorsing blatant idolatry, Jeroboam built shrines on the high places. He appointed priests, the Bible says, watch this, who were not Levites. And he established a festival to compete with the festival that was going on in Jerusalem at the same time, so the people wouldn't have to travel so far. All in direct disobedience to God's commands. The Lord had graciously made Jeroboam king, but Jeroboam exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And he worshiped and served what has been created instead of the Creator himself. The Old Testament tells the story of Jeroboam's rebellion against Rehoboam, followed by Israel's separation from Judah. Religion remained as a strong link between the people of Israel to the people of the southern kingdom. The former still looked to Jerusalem and its temple. They still felt that they must observe the feast days. Jeroboam recognized that he must lead the people of the northern kingdom away from the temple if he was to finally establish himself as a king of the northern kingdom. Jeroboam then turned to the people with a proposal that was popularly, is that good enough? Which was well received. He was a very clever man who suggested that their fathers had just done way too much. And he presented an easier way to these people. He presented an easier way for them to worship. He appealed to their desire for convenience and for the least possible expenditure of effort possible. Watch this, DeMond. Watch this. For some folks today, I'll get to this and I'll hit it a little harder after a while, but I'll prelude it now. For some folks today, just coming to church is too hard. Let alone coming back Sunday night. That's not convenient at all. Let alone not coming back Wednesday night. Come on, y'all, don't shout me down. Centuries later, when Jesus showed his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and to be killed, they were greatly bewildered. They inquired as to why he would leave the safety and popularity that he enjoyed in Galilee and return to the perils of Jerusalem. Hey, listen, folks, you need to know something today. You need to know this, church family. Satan would have all of us search for the easiest way possible, by which to do the work and the will of God. Now I'll give you all the background. Now we're going to make it applicable to today and what we're facing in 2021. He who focuses his mind on convenience and ease will be strongly tempted to depart from the discipline without which success is impossible. No discipline, no success. It's all through life that way. If you don't have discipline tomorrow morning to get up and go to work, you're not going to get paid. You shouldn't get paid. Although we live in a land today, they pay you more to stay home. I'm just saying, if you're not disciplined in studying your Bible, you're not going to grow as a Christian. If you're not disciplined in work, you're not going to grow and succeed in life, right? Everything comes with discipline. The military, I'm glad they're disciplined. Amen. I'm glad they are disciplined. They are guarding us, protecting us. That comes through discipline. Our Lord came to the earth that the kingdoms of this world might become the kingdom of God. Satan tempted him. Remember that? Satan tempted him in the wilderness with a promise of the kingdom of the earth. All these things, remember Satan said these words, all these things I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Matthew 4, verse 9. Remember that? You know what Satan was doing? Satan was saying, hey, Jesus, there's an easier way than the cross. Yeah, there's a more convenient way for you to do this than besides going to the cross. He was trying to make religion as easy as possible for our Lord. Did you know that the evil one, the devil, is constantly trying to get us to take just one step, away from what we know to be God's will? Why? Why would he ask us just to take one step away from what we know is God's will? Because if we take that first step, you know what's going to happen? He'll lead us completely away without our ever even knowing it. How about Lot, the nephew of Abraham? He chose the way of prosperity and success, and this led to his downfall and the ruin of his entire family. Jeroboam's statement is heard today in 2021. It is too much for a person to attempt to apply the teachings of Christ in all of life's relationships. That's too much to ask, preacher, for us to incorporate everything we learn in Scripture, everything we learn on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, to apply that to our lives. That's just too much to ask. Christianity is thought of as a ritual and a ceremony rather than a way of life. And that's wrong. This is not about a ritual. This is not about a ceremony. This is a way of life that God has purposed in our hearts to live. So folks, today I'll tell you things like this. 2021, Tom. They'll say things like this. It's too much to be a Christian in business. Man, it's cutthroat out there. It's just too much to be a Christian in business. Tell that to Chick-fil-A. Huh? Tell that to Chick-fil-A. They ain't open. I told somebody one day, I said, man, you're such a blessing. I'm going to take you out to Chick-fil-A tomorrow. It was Saturday. And I knew they was closed on Sunday. I said, man, they closed. I'm sorry to hear that. But the world will tell you it's too much to own a business and be honest. It's too much to own a business, be self-employed, and not be crooked. The world will tell you that. Why? Because it's cutthroat. You got to do it. This is the world's motto. Watch this, Sammy. The world's motto is you got to do unto them before they can do it to you. That's what the world's motto is. What about this? It is too much to be Christian in politics in 2021. That's too much to ask, preacher. Do you really expect us to have a president that would vote against abortion? Hello? If you can't get that part right, I don't want you leading nothing else in our nation. Did you say that out loud? Yes, I did. I'll continue to say it. If you can't get that part right, if you can't vote against abortion and you're supporting abortion, I don't know how in the world you're going to have faith in that same man to lead our nation and not be a train wreck. And I know that it rubs some people raw, but I'm just telling you, that's the truth. Texas has took a stand, somewhat of a stand. We need to pray that other states follow suit. And that regardless of what the president says, we do what God says. It's too much, preacher, to ask. I told you it was going to get right, didn't I? We just get warmed up. It's just too much, preacher, to ask for have Christians in politics. It's too much to be Christian in our home life. It's too much to go home and swallow our pride and be the husband we're supposed to be. It's too much to be the women that God's called us to be. That God has called you to be. It's too much. Don't expect so much, preacher. It's too much to be Christian when you're mistreated. When somebody messes over you, it's just too much to ask for you to suck it up and forgive them and move on. That's too much, 2021, to do that. I want to jack them in the jaw. Oh, you know, a holy headlock. I'll do it in the name of the Lord, but I'll put you out. It's too much to expect people to forgive today in 2021. Everybody's out to get somebody else. And if somebody messes over a Christian, the Christian makes the news by how they blow up. Right? The Christian makes the news. Does anybody remember Jesus? Does anybody remember how he was treated? Has anybody hung on a cross lately and been beat with a whip, with a crown of thorns on your head? And even in that time, he said these words, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And we're going to get all bent out of shape because somebody got our parking place. We're going to get all bent out of shape because the color of the carpet doesn't match what you think it should match. We're going to get all bent out of shape because somebody hurt my feelings. Think about Jesus. Think about what he endured for you. He set the example for us to follow. It's too much to be Christian in the giving of oneself in unselfish service. Think about Paul. What all did Paul give? Too much to ask, preacher. It's too much for a person. Uh-oh, here it goes. Going to get thick. It's too much today in 2021 to expect a person to tithe. Is you a fool? You want me to do what? Anyway, I don't want you to do nothing. I want you to do what the Bible says. Okay? It's too much to give 10%. You know, God's a whole lot nicer than Uncle Sam. What's taxes? Huh? That's more than 10%, ain't it? That's too much to ask. It's too much for God to expect us to give up certain common habits we had before we were saved. That's too much. Well, I'm saved, but I still smoke dope. I'm saved, but I still cuss every once in a while. And please don't let me hear you say this. That's just the way I am. No, if you're saved, let me remind you, you are a new creation. Hello. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. So don't let me hear you say, well, that's just the way our family is. We all hotheads. That was before you were saved. Hello? If you're going to go out and witness and tell people about Jesus and tell them how great of a God he is, you might want to let them see a change in you. Amen. You might want to show them something that makes them say, I want that. I'd like to have what you got on that. When somebody cuts you off on the road, you ain't pulling out the pistol. I kind of like it. Satan knows, and we should recognize, that unless the professing Christian puts aside the sins of the flesh and the nasty habits acquired before they were saved, there is no possibility. Listen. There is no possibility of having a wholesome influence on the world. It's too much for you to take a position of responsibility in the church. Did you hear that? 2021. It's too much. It's too much to expect people in the church to serve. Because some have accepted this philosophy, they have become spectators instead of participators. Which one do you fall in? Everybody here is in one or two categories. You're a spectator or you're a participator. Find yourself in the participator aisle to be blessed. You can come every Sunday and we praise the Lord for your attendance, but you can come, sit, soak and sour and leave and not give anything back and get, not give. And you'll never be blessed the way God wants to bless you. Amen. And you're robbing yourself. Here's the secret, man. And it's a secret, I think. Some people just don't get it. You're not robbing anybody but yourself. Amen. You don't do nothing on this property for the preacher. You do it for the Lord, for what he did for you on the cross. And listen, you will be blessed eternally. Do you want to get to heaven and get one jewel? You'll be walking around with a crown, got one jewel on, like a unicorn. There you are. That's all I got. Why? Because all I did was come to church, sit on Sunday. I didn't come back Sunday night and Wednesday. I didn't participate in nothing. I didn't try to help out. I didn't try to do nothing. I got one jewel. Do you think it'd be a little embarrassing when you get to heaven with one jewel in your crown? I don't want to be that. I want to have a head full of crown. But you know what I want to do with it? I want to take it later right at Jesus' feet. It ain't for me, it's to give back to him when I get to heaven that I can say, thank you, Jesus, because of everything I am and I did, it was because of you, not me. So for all the folks that are sitting there mad enough to throw something at me, you're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself when you don't tithe. I can't afford tithe. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. I can't afford to do that. I don't want to hear you talk about money. Those who remain idle and inactive in the churches across America today will deprive themselves of eternal rewards. I'll save the best for last. It's too much today in 2021. to truly be faithful to the church. Well, I'll just watch that preacher on the TV. Let me ask you a question. When you're sick in the hospital, that preacher on TV gonna come visit you? I'm not against you watching other preachers. What I am against is it gets so convenient that all you do is watch on TV. This is one thing. You can ask Josh. You can ask anybody on staff. William, they was after me for 3 or 4 years before COVID to start live streaming. You know what I always said, PJ? I ain't doing it because it'd make people ornery. I ain't doing it. If people want to know what's going on at Mill Creek, they just need to come out and see themselves. I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. You know what Jesus did? Pop! One day I showed up. There wasn't nobody here. And the Lord said, now what are you going to do? I went kicking and scratching and screaming. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to sit there and preach to a camera that looked like E.T.'s head. Sitting in a chair. ADD boy got to have some interaction. Amen? Got to have some interaction. Got to feel you. Got to see you. Got to see what you're doing. Making sure you ain't sleeping. So they try to compensate for that. So they come in the next week, Jason, and they put pictures all throughout. In the seats. Which really freaked me out because some of them was dated pictures. I'm like, that don't look like them. And they put them in the seats where everybody always sat. They tried their best to make me comfortable. I still ain't comfortable. I'm all about live streaming to the people who can't get out. I'm all about live streaming for different states. Nicaragua's even watching. I'm all about that. What I'm not about is creating an atmosphere of being ornery. Amen. If you can go to work tomorrow, you should be at church today. If you ain't scared about going to church, if you're too scared to come, that virus, y'all know we all gonna die. Can I just get that out there? We all gonna die. You might outrun the virus and get run over by a truck. I'm just saying, we're all gonna die. The main thing is not being worried about death, but knowing where you're going when you die. Amen. The main thing is worshiping the Lord. The main thing is living different than the world. Oh, I'm gonna get the emails, Lisa, look out. That's Lisa. You ain't gonna get me. I ain't got one. That's the problem. We see people. I see them at Tractor Supply. I see them at the feed store. I see them at Walmart. Poor little Cindy this morning, my sweet wife. She said, wonder how many people today the virus is gonna keep home and how it's gonna affect our attendance. I said, well, if Walmart's any indication, we should be packed out. Hello? If Walmart's any indication, or Tractor Supply, or the feed store, or the mall, or the movies, or anything else, we should be packed out. No. Wait, preacher. Church is different. We don't have a sign out front. Well, I better just stop. It's too much to be faithful. I believe if you can be here, you need to be here. I know it's more convenient. I had a man, he's sitting right over here to my right-hand side, who told me when he started coming back to church, I'm not going to look at him because I'll get tickled. Right before I got up to preach one Sunday, he looked at me and said these words, you know, it sure is a lot harder to watch you preach with britches on. And I thought to myself, I said, self, what is he talking about? And he went on to tell me, it sure is a lot harder to watch you when I got to get up and get dressed because I'm sitting on the couch in my underwear eating donuts. drinking coffee. It was nice and easy. Praise God he's here today. Praise God I'm not going to look at him. But praise God he's still not playing the easy road. You know why? Because in his heart of hearts he knows. He's a mature enough Christian to know that he ain't going to get the same thing on a TV set as you're going to get in person. Amen. It ain't the same. A person does not need to let, a person must not let recreation, you preach this on Labor Day weekend, are you crazy? Listen, I'm all about people getting away. I'm going to try to do it myself one of these days. Just getting away. I'm all about this. If you're out camping, don't say he's talking to us. If you listen, everybody needs to get away. Not every Sunday. Don't let recreation, don't let work. Here's a big one. Don't let relatives or laziness keep you from getting your britches on, walking in that door, shaking hands and loving on people. Don't let that happen just to be convenient. What in the world are we going to say when we get to heaven, folks? Some of the most ridiculous excuses. I'm not saying for those of you who's ready to maybe already turn me off online, I'm not saying that this virus is not serious. I'm just saying the Bible says it's appointed to man once to die. Amen. And I just want to make sure you know where you're going when you die. When you die is up to the Lord. So here's a question for you. Has some modern Jeroboam approached you with this suggestion today? It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. We used to be in building A, and I had people tell me, Betty, they'd say, I'd come to that church, but man, I can't climb that hill. What? We'll get a golf cart for you. We'll do something. Michael Shields carry on his back. We'll do something. I'd come to Mill Creek, but that parking lot, too steep to climb. We own flat land now. Hello? You can drive back to Building C for all y'all still at the house. Don't know, we've moved twice since y'all been here. You know, the people I'm preaching to ain't listening. Y'all are here, I'm preaching to the choir, and the people that's like this ain't listening anyway. So I hope some of them are, and they get convicted. That's what I hope. I'm just like it. Sorry. No, not really. Those who accept Jeroboam's philosophy are guilty, watch this, of robbing God, robbing others, and robbing themselves. You're a thief. You're a thief. For those who feel that way, you're robbing God, you're robbing others, and you're robbing yourself. Choosing the easy way is often an act of outright rebellion against God. God is our sovereign ruler and Lord. We are not to think of Him as a satisfier of our wishes. He's not a genie in the bottle. Hello? He's not a genie in the bottle. We're not to think of Him as a satisfier of our desires. No, guess what? His commandments, not suggestions, but His commandments are good for us. Choosing the easy way is often an act of ingratitude. Instead of counting our blessings as Christians today, you know what? Instead of us being grateful for what God's given us, oftentimes we're looking around us and grieving because somebody else has got something we ain't got. As Phil Robinson said, you ain't got nothing that I want. You ain't got nothing I want. When we deliberately seek the way of ease, comfort, and luxury and neglect to do the difficult things we must be done, we are showing a lack of gratitude to God for all the blessings He's given us. Choosing the easy way is often an act of degrading compromise. That was the case during the days of Jeroboam when he led his people into idolatry. See, if we neglect to do the difficult things that life requires and that God requires, we are liable to find ourselves in ruin. As I come to a close today, musicians, you can come on. God's will is revealed for every one of us in His commandments. His commandments will bring the greatest possible good into all of our lives. It is always a serious mistake to disobey God, and it's never right to do wrong. Substitutes are never as good as the real deal. When religion was made easy and comfortable, it degenerated and the nation of Israel went to pieces. And I'm afraid America is in the same boat. Instead of asking today for the easy way, the cheap way, the convenient way that leads to spiritual success and significant achievement, we need to search for the right way, God's way, and pray to God for the grace and the strength that are necessary to do it the right way. Set your spiritual walk with God on high expectations. High expectations. Set your mark high. They called me, and I don't know why, in Florida to do the speech to the seniors when they graduated. The most uneducated feller was doing the speech to the smarter people than he was. And I closed on this note, and they knew they was going to get something like this when they asked me. But I want you to get it too. It is better, listen, it is better to aim at an eagle and miss it than to aim at a skunk and hit it. Did you get that? It is better to aim at an eagle, Tyler, and miss than to aim at a skunk and hit. Set your marks high. Set your expectations for yourself high. Set it high for the Lord. Don't set it high for the preacher. Set it high for the Lord. So when people say, man, what gives you the gumption, the unction to go and do the things you do at the church? God does. I'm just a recipient of all the blessings of the cross, and I'm trying to give back. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and somehow, shape, form, or fashion, this message has touched your life and touch the deepest part of your heart, the altars are open if you'd like to come and pray today. We'd encourage you to do that. Spend time with the Lord. If you're here today and you've been toying with the idea about salvation, you've been questioning what it really means to be saved. I can't tell you how many people have come through the doors of Mill Creek who thought they were saved. And then they heard the preaching of God's word in a way in which they could understand it. And they said, you know what? That ain't what I got. I got religion. I got to fill out a card. I got to get dunked in the baptismal waters, but I never had that relationship. It was more of a ritual for me to go to church instead of a way of life. A preacher, today, I'm raising my hand right now saying, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. If that's you, we'll watch for your hand to go up. Just slip it up, put it back down, and we'll have one of our pastors come down, take you to the room off the side. I promise you, we're not going to embarrass you. That's not our intent. Hey, listen, we're going to heaven, and we want to take as many people with us as possible. If you're here today, don't let the devil win. Don't leave here the same as you came in. As the musicians play and sing, you remain in an attitude of prayer. The altars are open. We'll watch.